Good evening. This is the Village of Carmack's regular council meeting on Tuesday, August 5th, 2025. Agenda 25-15. It is 7 o'clock. I'll call the meeting to order. I'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting here in the traditional territory of Little Sam and Carmack's First Nation. We have some amendments. Sorry. Do we have a motion to adopt with amendments? And then I can get.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda as amended.
Okay, amendment seconder.
1 second.
Amendments would be delegations for Jane on the CarMax Housing Development Policy or Grant Policy 4.2. The other ones are new and unfinished business. One would be for the roofing repair to the old fire hall and balanced biogas.
You wanted an amendment to his contract?
An amendment to the contract for balanced biogas. And also in camera session. Do we have it all in favor for the amendments?
Bye.
Thank you, that passes. Motion for a regular meeting of July 22nd, 2025, please.
I'll move that we accept the minutes from July 22nd, 2025.
We have seconds.
I'll second it.
Any questions? All those in favor? Do that pass. Right. Delegations, Arbor, Webster Community. Welcome, Arbor.
Hey, good evening, Mayor Council. It's great to be here in person. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Few updates tonight, just on behalf of Department of Community Services and Community Affairs. First is the Municipal Act Review Committee. The terms of reference for the committee have now been finalized. So Bonnie has compiled a list of municipal representatives. We expect the first meeting to occur sometime in August. Once we have more updates, we'll have questions on when they're available. On the same thread, similar to AYC, other resolutions, we have seen drafts of the community services resolutions and expect them to be finalized soon. So more to come on that. Leaders briefing. As you may know, Minister Mawson has been hosting bi-weekly leaders briefings updates throughout the emergency response season for mayors and councilor chiefs to inform on emergencies. These briefings will continue throughout August, and the next session is scheduled for next week. Need a link. An update on the Sustainable Communities Forum. A reminder that the forum is scheduled for October 7th and 8th in Whitehorse. Planning is now underway, and the focus this one will be on flooding, with a focus more on climate adaptation and asset management as well.
Is there a Zoom option or is it in person?
Right now it's in person, but I can find out for you because I know it's not always possible for travel.
Thank you.
So I'll let you know, pass that on. It's primarily aimed at CAOs and executive directors, but we are encouraging key staff, primarily from finance and public works. So it does play into budget cycling and asset management considerations. So a save the date has been circulated to staff. And then looking further ahead to February, another forum will occur in Whitehorse and focusing on wildfires. And then finally, NAMMS Canada to highlight asset management workshops for municipalities. There are one-on-one opportunities NAMMS Canada is offering for elected officials to take part in. So this would offer workshops specifically designed for your community to consider current asset management planning stages when focusing on corporate objectives, legislative requirements, overall service trends, local services and risks. The workshop's available now until the end of March 31st, 2026, and it's about an hour and a half time commitment. So if it's something you're interested in participating in, let me know, and I can send you a link for registration. We're encouraging administrative staff to attend, and then also, if interested, Will Salmon Carmex First Nation as well could be included. That's all I have for now. Any questions or things I can find out for you, let me know.
Are you reaching out to LSCFN for that, or would you like us to?
I'm not the coordinator, but I'll find out the best way to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Arbor.
Thank you.
Why, welcome, Jane Kipke.
Thanks, everybody. So, as you know, I'm here to talk about the housing development incentives, housing development Dorian policy, the draft, which my colleague Mark Wickham discussed with you at your legislative meeting. Since that time, we went back in house. Actions, some of the changes that we requested have turned around another draft version and then have sort of promoted this discussion tonight to the broader community in the hopes that maybe some folks would turn out. And yes, I'm just curious, is everybody here to hear more about that? Or are you here for, you know, just this council meetings on a beautiful sunny night? Or yourself as well?
For me, yes.
All right. So entirely up to you, Council, but I did prepare a presentation thinking that it might be helpful for folks if they sort of wanted to go from, you know, all the way to the background, like where this is coming from through to the details of the policy. Is that helpful to you, or have you read quite a bit of the background material? Where are you starting from? You want me to go right from the beginnings and take you through the details?
I saw the background. I have questions that nobody has been able to answer. So maybe you're the person I can ask right away, and then I can leave if it doesn't apply to me.
Well, you don't like us.
No.
Well, so I have answers. I mean, because we could also do that. I mean, council certainly has the background. You know where this is coming from. If you have very specific questions, and
if that's one of them, so you can.
I actually don't mind the presentation because maybe there'll be other ideas generated and stuff that we can share.
Let's do it.
More people we know.
I just have one question, and if you answer correctly, I can stay or go.
Okay, sure.
It's basically, does it apply to people that don't currently have land? Because it was very clear in the invite and in the draft things for current existing. Landowners,
yes.
So
and or with agreements for sale.
Okay, so if you're looking to buy land, then that doesn't apply.
Yeah.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Well, the thing
that's
is,
not.
I mean, the point is,
quite right, though.
Yeah. The point is,
yeah.
We want somebody doing that because the point is we want people to build on the land, right?
Yeah.
So if you're looking to buy land, you can still apply for this.
Yeah.
And then you have to have land first.
No.
Well, you would have to receive, you would have to get, I don't know, we haven't finalized the policy yet, but we would have to provide proof that you have gotten ownership of the land to proceed with your application, right?
I see, but the grant wouldn't apply to go towards the price of buying land, because buying land around here is extremely expensive. So.
Yes.
But that part, what you're asking, Mike, is something that we can consider in what we're trying to lay out today. So like by you coming and saying that, now we have some information to Jane and Mark that we can work with on developing that piece in here.
Okay. Right? So I will awkwardly.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There's no awkwardness.
I thought you'd talk about.
Well, that's why I asked Jane and Mark to come back for another public consultation, because some of these things have been missed and it wasn't clear on, like, some of us on getting the public to come, and maybe some weren't available that we didn't get all the questions, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where I'd like to kind of tidy up some of these.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
We have the folks present in the room, and maybe Prince and Annette, after we're sort of done the presentation, can also let us know if anybody provided written comments too, because that was also another opportunity we made available. All right, let's do it. Okay, so my name is Jane Keckley, and I'm Groundswell Planning. And myself and my colleague, Mike Wickham, were hired by the village over a year ago to help them start implementing the village's commitments under the Housing Accelerator Fund. All right, next slide. Thank you. So how we got here, let's get into a bit of background. So in a nutshell, the village is receiving Housing Accelerator Fund support. It's a big fund, $4.4 billion across the country. It's geared specifically to municipalities. And this is part of the federal housing strategy. I'm sure you're aware that Canada is in a bit of a housing crisis, is the term I think that gets thrown around most often. So this fund is very unique, and it's a big part of the federal strategy to get homes built. Okay, thanks, Wolfie. So how it works, so it's geared to municipalities. That's unusual. So municipalities come up with an action plan, and they set out usually five minimum initiatives that they're going to commit to eliminate barriers to bringing housing to market. And then municipalities, as part of their application, have to provide unit estimates, and that's part of their action plan. So the funding that each municipality received is based on two things. Basically, have they completed the action plan? Are they doing the things, the initiatives that they said they would? And how are they doing on the number of housing units being created? So those parts are really important and will factor into, I think, some of the discussion around whether land should be eligible. Housing units count big time, as does progress on the action plan. Okay, next please. So here's how incentives fit in. Number one, it's part of the village's action plan to develop an incentives program. Two, hopefully, if it's successful, it will result in new housing, and that helps meet the unit target. The unit target as it stands right now is 72. There's a long story as to why. It's a very, very high number, super ambitious. So the village needs to do everything it can to try to get as many housing units built as possible. So this is not new to CarMax. In fact, CarMax is sort of joining this, or potentially joining this sort of trend after a number of other Yukon communities. So there's a various buckets of incentives that are being offered in other Yukon municipalities. And cash grants is a major one. Those kind of range from, you know, receiving $5,000 for a living or garden suite in Whitehorse, all the way up to folks being able to receive $40,000 in Watson Lake for any type of dwelling unit. $60,000 in Whitehorse is specifically geared to nonprofit housing. So if you're an individual and you're in the Yukon, probably the optimal incentive program that exists right now is Watson Lake. It's been quite successful there. I believe it has resulted in 14 new units so far since they rolled out their program last summer. Fee waivers is another common element of these incentive programs. So waiving of development fees, Dawson and Whitehorse, often those are very small. In Whitehorse, they're a little larger, so it's a bit more meaningful. Also things like tipping fees. You know, everybody was happy to see the Dairy Queen go bye-bye in Whitehorse. Well, this is the reason why, is the city of Whitehorse was able to provide a sort of basically a refund of tipping fees, or 75% of them. Another element is property tax abatement that is applicable to Dawson right now. Another thing to understand is a lot of the incentives, especially these cash grants that are available right now in the Yukon, are also half funded. So these other municipalities also have half funding. So these are going to be time limited. These aren't going to go on for years and years. There's this push of federal money. Municipalities are trying to get it out the door. Right? Thanks. So Mark and I undertook a very brief needs assessment. CarMax, we put out an online survey. We had a public meeting in June 5th, I believe. And here's just a summary of what we heard from folks. So we heard that the barriers are significant. So you raised the issue of cost. Yes, we heard land is expensive. Building costs are even more expensive. Obviously, there's no local builders, so you have to bring in feed and accommodate outside crews. Building code requirements keep ratcheting up. And of course, we've got limited land due to the local topography here. So those are all barriers for sure. We heard in terms of what people's housing needs and preferences are in the community, that we're hearing rental shortages persist across the community. Everybody is affected, all the way from the highest income levels, working in CarMax down to the lowest. We definitely heard at the public meeting anyways, a preference for single detached dwellings. In now that I think of it, we heard that in the online survey as well. But we know that there's also demand for smaller single units as well. So we asked the question, what type of incentive might work here? We heard resoundingly at the public meeting, cash, cash grants. And folks, you know, we went into more detail providing some background about what each municipality is doing, and definitely folks favored the simple, higher amount that Watson Lake is offering. Property tax relief obviously would still be helpful for some folks, help with building permit fees and then waiver of those ticketing fees, perhaps during new construction. I think CarMax, like many municipalities, has sort of a legacy of aging homes, maybe that aren't in great repair anymore. So the idea of having those tipping fees waived if houses are actually demolished prior to new construction. So Mark and I pulled that all together. We came and presented to council in June 17th, and we gave our best advice, which was, number one, act fast. Already the village is a little bit behind the eight ball trying to roll something out. Two, build on success. So Watson Lake is working. It's a proven model. Number three, keep it simple but flexible. So that part's important. So the simplicity is just when dealing with individual property owners, straight cash, very simple. When dealing with larger projects, the needs can vary so much depending on the circumstances of the project that we suggested that the village should stay very flexible around those to make sure that you can sort of customize incentives to meet their specific needs. And then number four, make it count, that the funding levels have to motivate people to act and quickly. So that was our best advice. And council said, okay, we take that advice. Let's see what you come up with. So what we came up with was a draft housing development incentives policy. Oh, sorry, I misnamed housing development grant policy, modeled in part after Watson Lake. So I'll give you the highlights of it. Two funding streams. The first is standard housing. This is the one that will likely apply to individual property owners. It applies to single detached, secondary suites, what we call missing middle housing, so between two and four units with shared walls. So that's the first stream, standard. The second stream is major housing, which consists of five or more dwelling units on one property in whatever configuration. So those are the two, standard and major. All right, So eligibility. So the property has to be located within the municipal boundary. So where that's coming from is, remember those unit counts that I talked about at the very beginning? So that is what the funding and the continuation of funding is based on, is the village showing building permits. So they have to be within the village boundaries for those permits to count towards the village's housing target. So unfortunately, if it's in the broader region but not within municipal boundaries, it doesn't count. It doesn't help CarMax sort of fulfill its obligations. So that's an important part of eligibility. Applicants must own the property or have an agreement for sale. This was based on your feedback at the last meeting. No governments and agencies are eligible, but First Nation Development Corporations are. And then, you know, fairly straightforward stuff. So the property must be in compliance with the official community plan, the zoning bylaw, the building code. Applicant shouldn't have overdue payables to the village. And this is another detail that council requested after July 8th, was that it be applied retroactively. So the funding agreement was signed January 9th. And so if a build was started after January 9th, but still hasn't reached final occupancy, that it would be retroactively available to those folks. So grant types and amounts. So this part's pretty straightforward. Basically, cash grants of up to $40,000 per dwelling unit for either grant stream. So either that standard or the major. With, and this is the star, a $7,500 bonus is proposed for any project that receives a building permit before December 31st, or sorry, by December 31st, 2025. You're probably wondering why. The reason why is it goes back to those unit targets. So for the 2026 funding to be assured, or at least a better chance of receiving the 20. So the funding isn't guaranteed. It's like they have a look at the progress of each municipality on an annual basis, and they decide, okay, are they on the right track? Are we going to give them the full amount that they were supposed to get for this upcoming year? So there's a big push to try to get as many permits by that December 31st so that 2025 unit building permit numbers look as good as possible. So that's the funding amounts. The major, so standard is pretty straightforward. That's what Mark and I advise, keep it simple. Major, here's where the flexibility comes in. So we're proposing that there could be up to 40,000 per dwelling unit to a maximum 270,000 per property. And this could be based on a mix of actual cash grants for pre-development soft costs. So these are things like engineering, environmental site assessments, geotechnical work. These are the types of things that projects have a really hard time getting funding for, what we call the soft costs in pre-development. Solid waste collection fees, property tax payments. So there could be multiple different elements for these major grants that we're talking about. So that is, in a nutshell, what could be available under each.
We talked about wells, septic fields, power, stuff like that. Was that included in this? No.
Yes. There was a request to add something about other thoughts. Forgive me, where is it? Okay, here we go. 7.6 says applicants may be approved for an earlier disbursement of fines if they can demonstrate critical need to fund significant site development expenses such as potable water wells and septic systems. So as it stands right now, we'll kind of get into this a bit, but there is a little bit more consideration for those pieces than there was in the original. Okay. But I'll keep walking you through it, and then you'll have the context. Okay, so application process for the standard, basically it's going to be pretty straightforward. There's going to be an application form. The village is going to let everybody know you have a minimum 30 days to get your application in. If there is more demand than there is funding available with that $40,000, the village has a couple of options. Probably the simplest is that everybody gets the full 40 and that there's a lottery. So applications can be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis if there's still funding left. So if the funding is undersubscribed. And then if you've been approved but you didn't get drawn in the lottery, then you get priority in the upcoming, in any future intake periods. So that's what it looks like for standard. Let's have a look at major. So major, again, this is the one for the more complex projects that could involve us, a whole suite of different types of incentives. These basically are going to be available on a rolling basis. Applications can be started basically by reaching out to the CAO to say, I would like to formally begin discussions for a major housing grant. The village may be working with multiple applicants at the same time. Realistically, this is going to be a very small pool of applicants, so that shouldn't be too onerous for the village. Basically, the negotiations will happen between the CAO and the applicant, and when both feel that they've reached a draft agreement, it's going to come to the folks in this room, and council will approve or not approve the terms of that major grant agreement. If there are unfunded applications, again, they'll get priority in future intake. So in terms of the administration of these grants, again, we're trying to keep it fairly simple. The key part, this is really key, is the building permits for whatever dwelling units have been approved. They have to be received by December 31st, 2026. And this relates to how the funding works. If they're received after that, they don't count towards the village's housing targets. The developments must be complete by November 15th, 2027. The funds, so sort of to go back to your question earlier, so as it stands right now, the draft policy says that the funds are going to be dispersed in two installments. So 75% of the grant once the building is clad to weather, and then the remaining 25% once the final occupancy permit is received. So that new clause allows for an earlier disbursement of funds before that clad to work. If the applicant is saying, I don't have a well, how I've got all of these upfront costs, I need. So there is an allowance for a bit more flexibility. And you can imagine that when it's time for the funds to be dispersed, the village is going to need, you know, cost breakdown photos, the ability to go and inspect property and the build underway if needed. The money can't be used for renovations or improvement that isn't related to the creation of a new house. Property owner labor costs will not be eligible, and the applicants have to basically assure that they will not be using the unit for short-term rental purposes for 3 years. So that's those are just some of the highlights for the standard grant. The major grants, again, because these are going to be a lot more complex and there needs to be a lot more flexibility around them, the schedule and conditions for how funds will be dispersed is going to be part of that draft agreement that council will review and have a look at. But the same general things apply. The building permits must be received by December 31st, 2026. Can't be for renovations or improvement, has to be related to new housing, no labor costs by the property owner, and again, no short-term rental for 3 years.
And that's because they want people to stay in the community and stay in health?
The short-term rental piece?
Yeah.
That's a pretty common element in any of these development incentives policy, and it's to make sure that housing is going towards people living in the community who have housing need. But it's also balanced with, I guess you could say, the test of practicality is probably not realistic for a small government like the village or other small governments in the Yukon to be monitoring that, you know, for a 10 to 20 year basis. So trying to find a balance.
On some of the multi-development ones, like two or more, with that same type of question, would it not be better to alleviate the second unit to not be under those stipulations? Like if they're building a duplex, living in one side, how would they be able to rent the other side out? Like,
Short-term rental, like Airbnb.
Yeah, short-term.
Yeah.
But the incentive is to get the building, but they would still have to pay, like, just trying to alleviate that cost. Yeah. Like, even if
That's part of the sort of the hard policy, you know, debates that you have to consider as a council. The scenario in which it's a duplex would be a standard grant, so the fairly straightforward one.
Yeah. And the garden suite one too is like.
Yeah. Sorry. A garden suite, a duplex, any sort of two unit scenario would fall under standard. I think, I think the expectation behind HAF is that there is core housing need in the community. So I think you could argue as the funder, your community's desperate for housing. That's what you applied for funding for. So why would it be so hard to rent out that additional unit? I don't know. But for sure, if you want to provide maximum flexibility to make this work for folks, or you could perhaps create a clause that provides the opportunity for property owners to demonstrate that they haven't been able to rent to a suitable candidate. That's another way. Again, every single one of those additional details adds administrative burden to your staff. So it's just a consideration.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you get bad renters, you want to kick them out.
I'll just make a note of that, though, and we'll sort of make a list of the points for discussion. So far, we've got land. We've got short-term rentals. Yeah. And again, this is pretty standard for these types of policies. Clause. Okay, in terms of funding allocations, that's going to be, I think, a good question for council to weigh shortly, not tonight, but in terms of how much is going to be available under each grant stream. Again, Mark sort of actioned your requested change to leave as much flexibility for you as council as possible. So how it's going to work is there's going to be two intakes. That's the expectation right now, assuming all goes well with the next renewal of funding. So there'll be one upcoming late summer, fall. The total funding amounts available under each stream will be announced as part of the intake, and that'll happen again in the spring. And so council will have the ability to sort of move funds back and forth between the two streams depending on what the uptake is for them. So say there's very little uptake on the standard housing. Folks, for whatever reason, just aren't in a position to be applying. But there's a couple of property owners that are ready to go with a larger housing development. Maybe more money goes into a major housing grant at that point, or vice versa. What else did I have? All right, that was it. Thank you. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah.
I have a question. It's kind of with Mike's question, like about the land and acquiring the land with the application. If the potential land buyer is talking with a bank and then needs the backing of possibly this funding, what that would look like to be able to get money out of the bank.
Like a construction mortgage.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like you could use it as a portion of your input into the construction mortgage.
Right. Yes.
Like part of your down payment or whatever.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And you would have a clause in your mortgage that says that you
have to meet these milestones. I'd like to hear from Mike what he thinks about that piece. Yeah. What
would be helpful?
Yeah, that's pretty much why I'm here. I mean, a few members in the community have done that, a construction mortgage. So I was specifically interested in whether or not that fund could be used for a down payment. Because acquiring property alone without going through that mortgage process is extremely expensive. For me to do that with the risk of maybe getting funding from the village or not, it is not feasible for me at this stage of my life. I might be the only one that doesn't have property in this room. This is a very ambitious plan for down south. I think it's possible, but the realities of the Yukon is, you said the timeline's till 2027. I think if I could wave my magic wand, I would say get a building inspector on contract for this community for 2 years, and we could get stuff done. But from the people I know in this room that have built stuff in the last 2 years, brand new homes, just getting power poles connected to the homes, getting the village issues, move-in residency. They have to issue a permit to be able to get your insurance to move in, all that stuff. That has been an exponential task because the inspectors will come out on their time. We have one electrician that seems to help some people out, but we don't have guaranteed trades here, right?
Yeah.
It's extremely difficult. Timelines are, we basically have 5 months of the year to get anything done.
Yeah.
So the 2027, that gives you what, 10 months? 10 months to get this done. And it's a bonus of $7,500 to get this in before December. Great. That'll meet some politician's target.
Yeah.
But for me to order a house from Maple Leaf or whoever, that's going to take a year to order because they're backed up.
Yeah.
There's awesome contractors here in town. There's awesome carpenters. But there's also a shortage of materials in town, right? So I'm not that guy that's really good at getting everything organized. There's people in this room that's good at that have contractors on standby, but they'll tell you it's difficult no matter how you look at it, right? So for that, I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but for me, this is not ideal. If I had a property and I was looking at building a granny suite right now, or I needed an extra septic because it collapsed, I think this would be great. But it's not really helping me currently, from what I can tell. I'll see it out, and I hope everybody can figure it out here. But extremely difficult challenge for council and mayor in this room for sure to address this. And then the housing is not caught up to the community. The lot prices are extremely high here, but houses are not selling. We've got $1 million house for sale. We've had one for 150. We got another guy that wants 350 with no permits. We've got, we're all up and down. And then in the Yukon, then you throw in the dynamics that miners come with straight cash. They don't care about permits. They'll pay for the dwelling. We've got contractors that built schools and they pay for the dwelling. It's a write-off for the taxes, but everybody else in this room that's professional is restricted to the permitting system, right? So a lot of complexities. So, and I'm at the mercy of Yukon Housing. I'm retiring in 4 years. Once I'm done, I'm out. I'm out of Yukon Housing. So, right? What do I do?
Oh, I see.
Right?
This is your government employee right now.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think, first off, yeah, I think we all hear you on those challenges. Yeah, I think there's a recognition, certainly for Mark's and my part and council, that this is, the timing of this is not ideal. I won't bore you. There's quite a story
for sure,
how we ended up here at this exact time. But, you know, the saying about the best time planetary, right? Best time is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The second best time is now.
Yeah.
And so we have to, with the narrowing window of opportunity that is left, and it may not work. You're right.
Yeah.
It may not work.
At least it's something for now.
But here's, so the village at least will be able to show an effort to the funder. The housing unit targets may fall, but at least they can show the completion of an action plan. So that's, it's almost like being able to show at least halfway completion of its obligations under the funding. There's a lot of risks, and council, I think, is well aware of them. I'm curious, so given all those challenges, though, do you see a way of generally keeping a policy like as it is, knowing that it's kind of a best shot? It's a Hail Mary in a way, but addressing maybe the challenge that you're facing, like the construction mortgage type of approach, or something that would see the objective of a building permit addressed, but recognizing that maybe people don't actually have the land yet. Is there something that you think?
I'm not that guy. Everybody in this room knows me. I'm a permit government 9-to-5 guy. I don't have the resources. I'm very handy, but I don't. This is beyond my ability, quite honestly. But I think it'll benefit a few in the community that'll be very good at this. There's what, between three landowners, we call them in CarMax. It might benefit. But for me, I'm going to be that guy that maybe if the village develops and partners in with the First Nations and lots are subdivided, power's in, septic's installed, and then you say these are $150,000 lots, and then we get Caraway in town and we already have the pricing per square foot, everything's doled out for you, I'll be that guy that's like, my credit's good, I'll jump in on this. But that's not the reality in the Yukon, right? Especially
that,
here.
That would be so lovely,
right?
I've been waiting like that.
We have the problem in CarMax that over the years different lotteries, land lotteries, have gone out without building requirements, or the building requirements were just never enforced and just kind of dissolved into wherever it went. So we actually have a lot of vacant land, but not a lot of available land. It's a very weird scenario.
For sure. Yep.
And it would be ideal to get like to kind of shake loose some of these vacant properties and have people develop them. I mean, I'm in that one too. So some of us have extra lots, right?
You both of my lots. You raise really interesting point, though. Like, so some of these challenges that you're talking about, don't really directly address that building permit need, right?
No.
But indirectly, they're barriers to getting those building permits. And so I'm wholly thinking outside the box here. But if that's part of your challenge, you know, you could consider maybe some sort of incentive for landowners to be releasing vacant land to folks that in turn could develop those properties. It would definitely be complicated. It's adding a whole other layer of complexity, but it could be something to consider that maybe there's a...
We did put out the...
I mean, Matt tried. Yeah, it's here. I don't know how successful it was, but
there was...
he tried.
Oh, that was... I think that was probably this. There's the carrot and stick approach, right? And some municipalities in the Yukon are slowly working towards the stick approach, right? So higher tax rates on vacant land. This is now the case in Dawson, right? That probably got implemented under, right? Which is good. This is where stuff happened.
It was very difficult to do. That is not a, I wouldn't suggest anybody goes there. But
so that's the stick. I don't know if anybody's ever tried the carrot. And the carrot could be, again, just shooting up the hip here, but something like a $5,000 bonus or grant to a property owner who sells a property for like this that is connected again to an applicant. And anyways, it would be complicated, but...
Yeah, it's not enough of a payday. There's people sitting on properties here for casino for longer than I've been here. They're expecting to become millionaires overnight. So the incentives would have to be so huge.
Yeah.
5,000 is a laughing matter. And these are for tiny lots that won't meet the 30% setback. You'd have to build straight up. Like, that's a big problem here is that the lots we do have are tiny and they don't meet current zoning. So going back to the funding having to meet the current zoning, that's a tough one. Real tough one.
Well, the one that always bothered me was the 27. Even if it was 28, because like you said, ordering, it's just, you know, over short for it. It's a short.
But some of those setbacks could be adjusted based off the lot sizes when we created those boundaries and setbacks.
The zoning bylaws, so... almost every municipality that has received HAF funding, so this is nationally, one of the items on their work plan has been to basically tear up their zoning bylaw and amend it, or draft a new one to make it way more permissive to build housing. So Mark and I were actually involved with the last official community plan, and out of that we wrote the zoning bylaw, and it was very intentionally permissive. In fact, when we opened it back up to see where we could try to make things more permissive than they already were, we really didn't come up with much. It's a very progressive zoning bylaw. So I'm not sure that those barriers are really there on the zoning side. You can build pretty much anything on any lot in CarMax if it's a commercially residential lot.
There are setbacks.
There are setbacks. And there's maximum parking and there's maximum shed blocking. I've read it. It's extensive. I don't think people in this room necessarily know how restrictive it is.
Okay.
So that's a fear of mine as a future builder that I don't think I could meet that currently. I drive a tiny Subaru and I'd have to have a Vancouver straight up two-story thing with one parking spot, no snowmobiles. I'd ask Brian to park my stuff there.
Down to the downtown lots.
A really small downtown lot.
And the government lots we just auctioned.
Yeah.
Auction off was, that's not the right word.
The lottery.
The lotteries.
Yeah.
They're very strange. There was cookie cutter stuff and then a puzzle piece behind wrecking everybody's view and then one at the ballpark. And it's the weirdest thing to see unfold. I don't know if it's zoned for commercial. So is somebody going to park their loaders there in their backyard because they have a loader and it's fun to landscape with one, right? I don't know.
There's They're a all over residential the and a one was sold as a multi-residential.
Absolutely. Yeah. Behind doors and
But as far as what we can do, I kind of like the idea of, is it possible to tie this grant to the successful signing off of a construction mortgage? Because then you get you can't just use the money to create more land speculation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if somebody actually puts in a well or a septic field or signs a mortgage, it's more likely that they're actually going to end up with a dwelling at the end. Right.
Right.
Not everybody just punches a well in and lets it sit there.
Well, some people do.
Yeah. There a story here,
but they're attached to that.
It would need to be.
Yeah. Sorry, great.
Okay.
All right. So, okay. So, what you had raised the issue of. Oh, sorry.
Development.
Yes, right. The state servicing buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sort of new clause around giving some flexibility for an earlier disbursement of funds. Does that adequately address that concern, or do you think the policy needs to go to council should consider going further to make it work for people that need to bring power?
Well, I'm sure that every residential property is going to need that for sure, because they don't have, well, every property needs, well, every every property needs development of power as well.
Yeah.
The downtown properties all have theoretically service with sewer. Country residential ones don't. So a guy has to do a septic field for $10,000 plus right there.
Yeah.
What was the total funding that CarMax is getting? $2 million or
2.2.
Do we have people that are already in the permitting process that are fully covered under this?
No.
Or it hasn't been actually.
No, because we haven't passed the.
This hasn't been finalized yet, but all the people that have the permits that got us the funding, that's why it's backdated to them being eligible to receive some of the funding. Yes.
Also, wells are available. You can get a grant through Yukon government and then pay it back on your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
With water wells.
There's rural domestic wells.
Yeah. Rural well program.
Yeah. It'd be nice if septic systems were added on as well for rural people.
I think so.
You have to have development in order. May I speak?
Yes.
You have to have development in order for it to get the well program, because it's 25% of your assessed value. They don't give you money on a vacant lot. It has to be something with an assessed value. Thank you.
Thank you.
It seems broken. That's
It is broken.
Is there any more questions for Jane?
Well, that's a deadline of what to the weather as far as the file.
So the reason, so there's the first challenge of getting the building permit by December 31st, 2026. So, and the reason being, because after that, the federal government doesn't count whatever building permits. So that's fixed. And then the reason that the construction has to be completed by November 15th is that the village actually has to spend all of its money by the end of 2019. So that November 15th allows all of the applicants, or sorry, I guess at this point, the grantees, to come in with their paperwork, the village to review it all, and then start with on the final payment. All of the money has to go out the door. So that's why. It's none of this is arbitrarily trying to make things harder. It's actually trying to make sure that the money doesn't count. Otherwise, it's just money the village will never see and will never be able to disperse to residents.
Could the money just be given to the village so they get to develop lots and sell a cookie cutter?
Well,
that would be fantastic.
That would, That's definitely a much more expensive proposition than $2.2 million. But yeah, for sure. I think realistically, the village is at a point where it doesn't have any more ability to go back to the funder and say, "Hey, we're going to do this now." Mm-hmm. It's that's already happened. Yeah, but I think definitely one thing I'm hearing from folks is that even though we've proposed, you know, sort of that Watson Lake maximum precedent amount, it may still not be enough for some folks to really, and that could be a consideration council could make, is that maybe Tarmac should set a new precedent for
100,000
for grant level.
Well, I can see being a little bit more just because nobody else has to do wells. That's a
give an extra $10,000 because we have to do wells.
It's a valid point. If we look at historically what has worked in this community, that has been a lot of, in air quotes, sweat equity houses.
Yeah.
And I'm not too familiar with the details, but the rumors are that pretty much the whole thing was paid for. And people ended up with the houses that they're currently living in. So if that's what it took to only get 5 houses built back in the day, and it was pretty much handed to people.
Yeah.
The incentive has to be 100%, like 110, with more of a carrot, right? So
Carrot with some dip.
Carrot with an array of tasty dips.
Travis, did you have any questions for
No, I'm good.
Can we clarify anything further for you?
No.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. So we've got the land issue. So does council have any recommendations to make to Mark and I about how or whether we should try to address that? It definitely, in terms of the let's get this out the door and fast, that is a wrinkle that could cause a delay, no question, trying to figure that piece out. It's certainly a lot easier to increase the amount to hopefully give people more flexibility to make some that they need to. Which way would council be leaning on that one? Do you want us?
Maybe you have a conversation with Mark and see what he thinks.
Okay.
Definitely, I guess the increase would definitely be a really good option to look at.
Yeah, I think the increase is very straightforward. Yeah. In terms of, or maybe you want us to explore the nuances around allowing applications to come in for land, like if people don't own.
Or maybe we parcel it a little bit, like say if it's $40,000 for generally for the dwelling, if you need an additional 10 for a well, you can get that, but you don't just get $50,000.
Hmm.
Right, okay.
A septic and another 10 there?
Well, no, I mean.
I'm just trying to get the money out of the front.
Yeah, so. Right, because you could end up in a circumstance where property is already developed and they just want to add a garden suite or build a living suite as an addition, and they already have the septic, they already have the well, or whatever the case might be.
Right? Like if those are the barriers, we need to address those barriers, not just pump the money.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so increase the amount for site servicing. So what would be eligible? Well, septic, power connection. And what sort of amount do you think would be meaningful?
10.
Those are like $30,000 pieces, at least depending on the well depth. The intent of sort of potentially the size of the septic field or holding tank.
Yeah.
And the power poles that guaranteed 20.
Do we want to get in the roadway?
You know. It could be an access thing too, right? Like there could be an access point, like Dennis is saying, that they don't have the culverts, yeah. They don't have the access way to the property yet. But I would like to see what yourself and Mark say on what the amount of allocation of the funds is at to meet those marks.
Mm-hmm. I think we'd want to give that some thought, so just so that say you've got quite a few applications that don't require that,
yeah.
And then you've got one application that could end up taking perhaps a disproportionate share of the funding, right? Because it has all of those requirements.
But if it's getting them to meet the needs,
it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just if you end up with two fewer building permits than you would have otherwise. If
not necessarily, they might be doing the multi at
true,
that point.
True. Yeah. Right. All right. I think we just want to give that some thought. So we will give that some thought and come back with something.
No, it's time sensitive.
It is very time sensitive. Yeah. It's time sensitive. Okay. Other.
Well, we could probably have a quick meeting to pass.
Special.
I think we might want to because
I don't
want to
wait another.
Heard loud and clear tonight that
the timeline.
Yeah, I was gonna say there are two issues here, right, guys? Like for me, I need everybody else to be slowed down because my situation is very complex, and I'm probably not the majority in this town. Maybe I don't know. I would recommend to council that they proceed hard and fast and help people that build it. If you guys all have your lots, build those greenhouses, build that new septic, build that solar system, do it. And maybe we table this and propose it for the future to discuss the more complex issues that I've brought forward. So let's not miss this timeline for everybody else in the community, right?
Well, I think yours is one that might be the one that's holding people up too. They start from the beginning. Well, no land.
But how does this policy move that needle? If people are hoarding land, which is...
Well, we already tried to purchase or have them come forward with land, right? Yeah. Able to alleviate some of that. And that ran for months.
Right.
But it didn't. Mm-hmm. There's only a few applicants of... Yeah. What it looked like, and they already had dwellings on them and stuff, right? So
that's my concern, is that while this is a major issue, and I suspect, you know, with time we could probably figure out how to address it in a policy context, I can imagine maybe going to a fair bit of effort to do that only to arrive at the same result, that until there's an incentive to sell, that people aren't letting go of lots.
And why would you, if I own property right now and I paid $300 a year to keep it,
exactly.
Why would I sell it? I could wait another 20 years for a casino that maybe offer me double. And the taxes haven't caught up to my profit share, right? So
yeah.
I know that's not a solution here to hike the taxes, but there's no stick right now.
Yeah.
But the stick isn't necessarily the solution either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's very few... Like, what is it, 99 tax-paying members in this community for some stuff? So most of the community has got housing provided, and they're working for a lot of people rotate here, and I think being nursing. You have just different dynamics here, right? So it's hard to address any big issues here. But that's my thing. I don't want to interrupt anybody and I need to poo-poo your presentation. It was excellent.
Oh, no, thank
I just
you brought some good issues for it.
That, yeah, absolutely.
You guys need to deal with helping with it and be right for this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I seen something under that said when Mike, going back to Mike, you don't have property, but if you can show that you're getting the property.
Agreement for sale.
So you look at that, Mike.
Well, there's one piece of property for sale right now. He's dropped it to 70, but to get a loan on it, I think it's close to 10% just for a property loan. So it'd have to be tied to a mortgage, right? And then, like Corlin was saying, they release the funds, like what Andrew did and most people around here. But houses take about a year to order if you get a
prefab.
And, you know, it's not super easy. And then you've got the building inspectors are a nightmare. You've got the trades are a nightmare just to connect an HVAC, just to connect your power pole can be installed. We install power poles for those lots that we sold. But to connect them from the road to the house, is it you have to get somebody to come up for that. And that's a nightmare in its own.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kind of get a permit. I don't think the village was ever a problem when Matt was issuing permits. It's getting to that stage that was the problem.
Yeah.
The village here has never been an issue.
Also, there's a lot of the communities in Yukon doing this right now that will be drawing out the people that travel through these things.
Yeah.
There's a piece of that, though. If there's an intake, and in a way we're sort of funneling like-minded people who are going to be at a similar stage, right, mm-hmm. of need, there might be an opportunity with some coordination to try to help everybody out, you know?
That's why if we know, like, all these people need HVAC systems.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think Mark and I have talked about this with Chantel, like that the village is going to need to be really nimble in terms of what it looks like to support people, because we know it's not just straight cash. It's also just resourcing, right?
Yeah.
In general. So that part, I don't think really needs to be in this policy, but it's just something in terms of program rollout to maybe let people know, like, I don't think the expectation is, you know, that the village adopts this and hands off, that's it. I think that there might need to be some level of support for sure. And if that's, again, the barrier, because the village gets the permits, folks get houses, everybody wins.
Yeah.
And the federal money or federal government doesn't want to take that money back, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's already committed. Okay, so I'll talk to Mark. Maybe we can think of an elegant way to address the land issue. It just sort of within the framework of this policy as it stands right now, so that we don't have to have bigger, way bigger discussions about sticks and carrots and for property owners. We can do that. And short-term rentals, that was the other issue that you raised. Do you want us to make any changes on that?
I think the three-year timeline is adequate. We do want to address the housing issue. The whole point of the fund is housing, not renting out rooms.
Yeah. And short-term rentals are defined as 30 days and under. So, you know.
Just make sure that's clarified.
It is. It's in the policy.
I don't know if you guys are fine with it. It's different.
Yeah, 30 consecutive days. Anything else? Did I miss anything? So we're going to try to address the land piece. No promises, but we'll see what we can do. That doesn't become a big convoluted sort of whole other chapter to this policy that we're trying to get out the door pretty quick. The piece about the servicing incentives and a special meeting to review the next version of the policy. All right. And so I'll follow up with Prince and Annette about when that special meeting can be.
Yes, please.
And thank you all for coming and providing council with some, you know, helpful input and meeting with some.
It's great to have some other ideas and thoughts.
We need people coming in here.
Yeah.
Man. So why did you guys make this decision? Well, who's coming in here?
Yeah, I just hate feeling so negative. I'm not a negative person, but it's like
sometimes
these issues are it's hard to resolve, right? So again, great presentation. Great. Proposal, great funding, just lost defaults, right?
Oh, yeah, and it's such a short
part.
Yeah.
It's a Hail Mary, but, you know,
that's okay.
Sometimes things can happen.
And now we know a little more of what the community needs for future development, too, to assist people in developing lots and
For sure.
What works.
So if you know folks who have land, see if you can appeal to their better angels.
Howard.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Travis. Feel free to Instagram and
there's
refreshments are here.
There's so many ones downtown that are just sitting there.
Okay.
One across.
Moving on here. Correspondence.
AYC resolution letters, response, strengthening Wuhan's municipal workforce capacity. And well, there's a few AYC things. Here's 5.2 AYC resolutions response. Yeah. Minister. And as Harbor was speaking on a few of these, the advisory committee is going to have their first meeting. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I have a motion to accept this correspondence for record.
I'll make a motion to file correspondence not acted upon by resolution.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Thank you. Council activity reports. Councillor Hanson.
I have nothing to report.
Councillor Mitchell.
I have nothing.
Councillor Wheeler.
Nothing.
Council Belmore. Okay.
I have no municipal business to report. Thanks.
My report, I'd just like to make a public announcement. The subject would be the resignation of Chief C Administration Officer, Chantel Pelche. I would like to share a significant leadership update with the Village of Carmex. Ms. Chantel Pelche, our Chief Administrative Officer, has tendered her resignation effectively July 22nd, 2025. To September 12th, 2025 is her holidays. I'd just like to say on behalf of council and the entire community, I want to express our sincere gratitude to Ms. Chantel Pelche for the dedicated service to and many contributions she had made during her time here in CarMax. As well, moving through this transition, I want to ensure you that the municipality operations will continue without interruption. The village is committed to maintaining stability and consistent services delivering during this period. In the coming weeks, we will begin implementing a transition plan to ensure a smooth and orderly handover of responsibilities. Your support and understanding are valued as we proceed through this change. Should you have any questions or concerns, please don't hesitate to contact me anytime at the office or our admin staff. And acting CEO right now is Annette. So anything could be put forward to Annette. So yeah, that's all I have to report for my report.
Thank you.
CEO report, Annette.
I just read it.
That's okay, I read it a few times.
Okay.
We can go through it.
Sure. Okay, so the pool lifeguards are both running in the summer games and then going back to school. So therefore, the last day of opening will be August 17th. Matthias is trying to find another lifeguard to come to work so that we might be able to open longer. But I think, like I heard today, that no one is willing to come just for 1 week or something. So I guess that will be the last day. Then the landfill composting program, the tent is up. So, and we are trying to get public engagement probably by the end of beginning of September to hand out the composting bins and get more public education. So the steel project, the tender has been awarded, work to come to comments later August, early September. Public work department will be clearing some brush for EDGO. Like EDGO has committed to come out, I think, by the end of August to put the power poles up. And no volunteer for the heater, unfortunately. And okay, and you know this, but the property tax, like we worked with them on the missed amount, so I sent an email out to property tax assessment in Whitehorse, and they admitted I made a mistake. So they will work with us coming like next year or beginning of December that we can say this is undeveloped, this is like something is going on. And so we have to check, or I have to check which one is the right property. So then the roofing, I don't know if we can do it now because I just see there's a municipal building roof replacement. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we got the quotes in yesterday for both the village office and for the old fire hall, which we will discuss later, I guess. Then we have, we just heard today. And then the public works retrofit, public works and YG managers are working on the design phase. The lagoon, there's unfortunately no progress up to date. And civic addressing, Chantel has been updating all the civic addresses on the list and has received LSCFN's input. We will add the bylaw to the agenda for September. Okay. The arena boilers, we're still waiting for the fan to arrive so that we can get the boilers back online. And the summer programs, I found out today that there's no more program. Sorry for me, but yeah, it just came back yesterday. So, and Chantel was looking for options to continue with these programs.
I think that's it.
Okay. For me.
Yes, thank you. So next we have the recreation monthly report from Chanel Jutney. Just recapping a few things: Canada Day event, the summer camp highlights. They took a couple of trips here, it says, and they're utilizing the pool, which is great. I know I've seen lots of kids there having fun, including my own. And they're still launching the photo contest. So yeah, and tournament updates. There'll be a pickleball tournament. I know there's a softball tournament with LSCFN and the rec center this weekend. Facility water system. I know that a few residents have seen the postings of the water system. I know that all the public works staff and the FO manager have been working on that system. They've ratified some of the issues with some of the PLC problems, and yeah, the water is working. Summer camp and the security system. So yeah. Thank you, Chanel. Bylaw report, a constable's report. It's a summary of activities. Dogs at large as of July 5th. Just aggressive dog complaints, says he has one. Traffic violations for parking and secured loads, two. Assisting with RCMP, one. Public encounters, he's had 15 July. Open space infractions, says he has three. He has some highlights about the activities and the support that he's been doing around town. Thank you, Liam. Well, that's Public Works General Manager report from Jens. Water treatment plant operating regular standard capacity. Arena just says about the boiler issues, which the CAO had reported to us. Landfill, normal. Collection system, fully operational. Yeah. Thank you, Jens.
It does say that the BST work is done.
Yeah, the BST.
It is definitely not done.
Thank you, Councilor Wheeler. There are some areas.
Going to Mayo first or something, I heard.
The BST work is complete.
Is it?
Yes. Done. So the BST work in regards.
Have to just sweep the gravel off after. Yeah.
Yeah, but the super
crew has to come.
Work that was put out for like all the main work for redirecting has been done. The sweeping comes, it might not even be.
It's not a BST.
Okay.
It's different.
Okay.
Any other questions, you can forward them to Annette.
The only thing I wonder, why didn't they do that one little section down
So all the work that has been done is only the work that they worked on the culverts to that was in, under their contract. So that's what they're covering.
I was wondering why they didn't doubt that one outside Joseph's and that done. Okay, I'll just stop.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Visitor Information Center report here from Jeremy Byers. Visitor stats, 255 average daily visitors is about 8.2 a day. Peak days are July 1st to 3rd Canada Day long weekend, and July 20th to 21st. Says he's got $233.35 in revenues. Top selling items, local postcards, small souvenirs, local artist jewelry, and some clothing. Thank you. Oh, sorry, visitor feedback. Most common complaint here, we see this on a few reports from Jeremy, is this the location, lack of highway signage. Says here about several reporting relying on GPS, which is off, misguides, and overlooks the VIC entirely, not just right over the building. Many tourists appreciate the friendliness of the community and local scenery once they arrive. A handful of visitors request update brochures, maps, and stronger outline presence for CarMax tourism. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And CarMax fire report. I will let Councillor Mitchell present his own report.
Well, I've handed it in, but anyway, probably just been doing training, and our practice will be tomorrow night again for us. How much time on here?
It is after Liam's or after.
Anyway, yeah, so there is the report. The one thing we haven't found, and we're wondering if we can find out, is there any news on our pumper being fixed? Our pumper one?
When I came back from the airport the other day, it was still in the parking lot there. So
yeah, I know. That's what I was wondering. I see it on the trailer still.
Yeah, they did ask if the truck was driven, like after you guys found out that someone put this wrong stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So I told them that you just drove back to because you had to bring it back. So and I don't know what. So then I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
But on that note, as you see in a report, we've been our training nights. I'm thankful, Brian. Like our crew's been just fantastic. We've been actually fairly busy. Like there's been a few call-outs, and everybody, as you'll see, it's because we're not all there all the time. So certain guys, like you've been to a couple that I haven't been to, and you know, so I'm proud of our team right now. Everybody's been stepping up, and it doesn't matter if it's been 2 or 3 in the morning. There's been people coming out. So, Mark, the crew's doing good, and we're just steady. Right now, main thing we're focusing on is knowing how to run these pumpers because they're new pumpers and hose and nozzles. We got some good too.
Thank you, Councilor.
Glad you're up.
Association of Yukon Communities, Councilor Wheeler.
Haven't had any updates. I don't have anything to report from them. Have you heard anything?
Other than Barber and.
Well, we had we had
a board of director or executive meeting this week. I'll watch that on. Reminder of the September board meeting here again.
AYC summer stuff's usually fairly quiet after the AGM, other than waiting for responses to come in. Minister responses from resolutions.
Okay, thank you very much. Bylaws, seeing none here. Anyone unfinished business? It's a draft AYC policy position council feedback.
Can we, they're seeking feedback by August 30th. Can we
talk about it again on the 19th.
Yeah. Because there's quite a bit here to
read through.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I mean, I sort of read it, but I didn't realize they actually wanted feedback.
Okay, we'll set that date, August 19th. Thank you. Okay, so 8.2 would be for the roof repair. So, Ned, did you want to present that?
Yes, so in November, I got the quote in for the wood fire hall. The estimated amount is 65,500, which we received 50,000 from the government of Yukon. So there is in the lease agreement, there was an agreement that the Village of Carmex and YT share each 50,000 for all the renovations for the old fire hall. We received the 50,000 from YT already. So I would recommend going ahead fixing this one because it's lots of leaks, everything at the roof. And we got another quote, I guess this one here, of 59,000 for the village office. But we're like, due to lack of funding, we want to postpone this one and just fixing the ladder. For now, I think he agreed to do that this year. And once we receive the funding, hopefully he can come back next spring. So, and we had a talk this afternoon, so he agreed to it.
So you need a resolution for
the fire hall. If Carlos wants to go ahead, and he said he could be here next month. So what did he say? Like, yeah, like kind of a minute.
Yes. So a resolution to approve the 65,500 plus GST to Alpha Roofing and Renovations. This would be for the old fire hall, as it is in dire needs of a roof. And it meets all the requirements that Jens and his team have looked at with selecting this quote. So we can.
I'll make a motion that we approve the expenditure as per the quote.
Do we have a seconder?
A second.
All those in favor? Thank you. Yes, yes.
The next one.
Yeah, so pile balance, guess.
I put out a letter he sent us, right, Jonathan from Valentine. So he has put the tent up with help from the Public Works Department. We actually looked at his contract and he's responsible for putting up the tent. He's no help from the village. So, but he said so that an additional groundwork was requested because it wasn't level, but I guess he didn't tell Public Works how he wanted it or something. So he's asking for 1,740 for the additional groundwork because he used two of his workers. And then he proposed a wall just to cover the back end of a tent. So when Public Works is moving the compost, so just for damaging the wall, like the tent itself. So what he's asking for, $4,332,000, like for labor and materials, but I actually looked at the budget, so we don't have this in the budget, but maybe we can, it's my suggestion, we will pay him like the 1,740, but we can maybe find a way that Public Works, because they're working on it anyway, that they can buy the material for the wall, so it's probably up 50 feet. So it's not like the whole wall, it's just for doing the equipment, using the equipment. Or maybe we can, yeah, fine. But I think if you contract it out, it will be the same. So if they can fit in, like doing this job and just, paying him the additional labor for the groundwork.
I would say that we can let you navigate what that looks like with them, Public Works, and then,
Yeah, but because Jonathan is on vacation right now.
Okay.
So, and then he actually asked, which I didn't know. He talked to with Chantal about like having a barbecue. Then we hand out the compost bins. I'm not sure what council has to say to that. Like, if, like again, yeah. Well, I'm not sure.
I don't know if I want to. Like a barbecue at the landfill doesn't sound very appetizing.
Exactly, that's what I thought. I was like, I don't want to eat burger or there. So, but is it necessary?
I think that we could let you navigate some of those things and then just inform us what we have covered up with. And
yeah, so have a look what we can afford and what we can't. And then, well, yes, we can. Okay.
Do we have to make a motion for $1,700 for Jonathan?
No.
It falls under the
policy. Under the amount.
Yeah, that's under your mom.
It's a contract amendment.
And I forgot one, sorry, but I think I put it in for mayor and council. We finally did the boardwalk audit, which was due presently in 2022. And because we got the whole funding of $450,000 for the boardwalk, but we haven't used, according to the audit, all of the funding. So we have to pay back the amount. This year. So I just want, because it's more than I am allowed to do, so I need the motion, I think, for council to prove this amount to be paid back to YG, or actually CANO, with the CANO funding. I know it's not good, but I don't have any other invoices.
Not is there a date that this has to be?
I can just, I can find out.
There's still more work to be done.
Are you able to add this to the next council meeting?
I can, yes. Okay. Yeah.
I thought there was still more work to be done.
Well, this project was actually done 2022. So we didn't get any more funding because they said we are max capacity of funding. So we tried to get funding like for 2023, but YG, Piano, everyone said no.
Correct.
It was,
Moving forward. Question period from the gallery. Brian,
Travis. What money are you sending back then for the boardwalk?
$23,086.80.
There's still stuff to be done.
But the
tender
project didn't meet the timeline.
Funding, they tell you a certain thing. You are eligible for this expenses, you're eligible for this. I tried to put some of your work in. They said, no, it's not covered. Like whoever did apply for the funding didn't put this in. So then we won't get any funding for that. So they would say, no, this is not, you can't claim this. You can't claim this. Like this, it's really,
Once the funding is closed, it will not allow you to apply for it again.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This money that you're sending back, why are you sending it back?
Because full amount is not,
No, that was me.
Yes. So, and they give you this amount, which I actually don't like. I rather do the work and then ask them for reimbursement instead of getting the funding up front. And then we can't, like, we think we can use it, but then they say, oh, no, it's not part of the agreement. Right.
That far, I never got to anything else to the news, or I said they got the person.
We're looking
for that money.
Okay. Any other questions? Brian?
No.
Travis?
No.
Thank you. Could
I have a motion for an in camera, please?
I'll move to move in camera.
I'll second that.
All up there.
Thank you.
All right.
See you later.
Good night. Sure. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Take a short recess.
Mm-hmm.
Break.